Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and tonight we're going to continue our series on heaven. We have this Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night we'll wrap it up. And then my son will preach on the 28th, and then the first Wednesday of January we're going to start a brand new series on God's love. Enjoy this. Tonight's sermon is going to be, or Bible study, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be different, all right? We're going to use our Bibles a little bit, and I hate asking you to do this, but I'm going to need you to think with me tonight some, all right? I know it's unfair, I know it's hard, and it's going to smell like smoke for a while in here, but we'll do our best. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read the first 8 verses. You follow along silently. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house made without, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us from for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, look at me, sit still, and let's get through this here. We've spent many weeks about heaven. Tonight is not going to be a complicated truth, but it's one I feel we need tonight. There's much about, we've talked much about seeing heaven, what we'll see there, what we'll experience there, who will be there, different things like that. We've talked about coming back to this earth after we've been there. But tonight, I want to show you, are you ready? The journey to get to heaven. The journey on getting to heaven. There are only 3 ways to take your journey to heaven according to Scripture. Now, let me say right here, that does not mean there are 3 ways to get saved. There is only 1 way to get saved. Not talking about salvation. You can only get saved 1 way. That's by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Realizing you're a sinner. Because we're sinners, we deserve hell. That we can't pay the price. That we needed somebody to pay it for us. And we trust Jesus Christ and that alone to take us to heaven. That is how you get to heaven. That pays the ticket. Question is, though, which bus are you taking? That's kind of what we're talking about tonight. Are you taking a bus? Are you taking a plane? Or are you taking the train? There's 3 different ways that you can actually get to, be transported to, from earth to heaven. All right? Everybody with me so far? Some of you looking at me like a calf looking in Newgate. All right? Let me say right here, the trip to heaven is not a long one. Now, we don't know how far away heaven is, but once we make the trip, it goes pretty quick. But the very moment you take your last breath here, you're sucking in heavenly air. Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The moment you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. It is instantaneous. It's just like the rapture. It's boom, boom. There's no doubt when you're there. All right? Now, again, let me say, there's not more than 1 way to get saved. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about your spirit and your soul being transported from earth to heaven. There's only 3 ways that can happen in Scripture. Tonight, we're going to look at that. Are you ready? Way number 1. First way, you can be translated to heaven. take your Bible. And by the way, there's only two people in history that have ever been translated to heaven. First one is a man named Enoch. Turn your Bible, Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. That's the first book of the Bible, Brother Stoltz. All right, Genesis chapter 5. I want you to look at verse number 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Hey, there's still hope for you there, Fred. 300 years begetting sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now look at me. This is prior to the flood. This is before Noah. Methuselah, doing okay there, Asa? Don't bang on my wall too hard. You go through, all right? Methuselah was Enoch's son. Methuselah was the longest living human being in history. I think he lived 968 years. You got a ways to go, all right? But he lived the longest recorded in Scripture. Adam was the second longest living person recorded in Scripture. He lived 950 years. But Methuselah was Enoch's son. And the Bible says in verse 24 that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Say, what does that mean? I'll show you here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Enoch lived for 365 years. The Bible says that he walked with God. One day, God looked down and said, Enoch, you know what? You and I have so much fun. I'm just going to bring you here to heaven. Why don't you just come? And God translated him to heaven. He did not die. He has not died yet. But he's been in heaven since the day he was translated to heaven. Now, I'll come back to that in a minute. This was before the flood. Now, the second person that did this was a man named Elijah. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. A man named Elijah. And I'm going to talk about both of these in a second, but I want you to see them. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to start reading verses 1 through 8. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, we're talking about a man named Elijah. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. So the two went over on dry ground, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. And I will be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And as he said that I was asked a hard thing, and I'm going to skip down to verse number 11. And it came to pass, as they went still and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Wow. Now I want you to notice something. Elijah did not die. God took him to heaven by a whirlwind, separated them with the chariot of fire, but he went up in a whirlwind. He translated Enoch. Now, I want you to notice something. They both went to heaven. Now, we're going to go all the way back to one of our earlier Bible studies. We said there were five different heavens, right? We said the first one is the what? Atmosphere. We said the second one is space. Then we said the third one is a place called paradise. And then the fourth one is heaven as we know it today. And then there's the new heaven and the new earth. Now, wait a minute. Paradise were for the folks in the Old Testament. I want you to notice that Enoch and Elijah didn't go to paradise. They went to heaven. They went to where God was. They were in heaven with the angels and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit and God the Son. They were in the heaven that we are headed to before Jesus resurrected them out of paradise. You say, how's that possible? Because God translated them there. They're still in their earthly body. They haven't changed bodies, but God has been able to supernaturally preserve them as they were when they left this earth. Now, everybody doing okay? They will come back and die. As is appointed unto every man, Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, as is appointed unto man, every man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. If those two men don't die, God's not a man of his word. God's not a God of his word. So those are the two witnesses that will come back in the book of Revelation during the tribulation, during the first 3.5 years. They will be the evangelists preaching all over the world to get people saved and away from the Antichrist. Then the Antichrist will kill them. They'll lay in the streets for 3 days and three nights. The news media will be showing their pictures all over the internet, all over the television, all over anywhere else they can show their pictures. After 3 days and three nights, Brother Elijah's going to lean over to Brother Enoch and say, you ready? Let's show them something. They're going to get up and God's going to resurrect them and they're going to go back to heaven. They're going to have a personal rapture, amen? They're going to actually watch them come to life on worldwide television. Wouldn't that be a hoot to watch? Now, wait a minute. These are the only two people in world history that have been translated to heaven. You don't have much of a chance for it. Don't worry about it. But I need to tell you, that's one way people get to heaven. By the way, I looked it up again today. I knew it was true, but I looked it up. And the Catholics teach that Mary was translated or assumed to heaven. She was able to be assumed to heaven because she was, this is Catholic doctrine, in their words, in their own writing. She was conceived without sin, therefore she could be assumed to heaven. They believe Mary never died because she's the mother of God and God wouldn't let his mother die. That's wicked as hell. The Immaculate Conception is not in reference to Jesus. It's in reference to Mary in the Catholic Church. It has nothing to do with Jesus. Look up their doctrine. I don't suggest you do a whole lot of study on it. It'll make you mad. But I will tell you this. I got it from the Catholic Church doctrine itself. I looked it up. I went to their records. And it's called the Assumption of Mary. Say, what is that? They believe she was translated and never tasted death because she never sinned. They're wrong. Mary was born of a woman and man in a physical relationship, and she was just as much a sinner as you and I were. God used her as a conduit to birth the body of Jesus, but she had nothing to do with it. The Holy Ghost conceived seed in her womb. She was not conceived by man, but she was a sinner, just like you and me. Say, how do you know that? Because Jesus couldn't have died if he came from a perfect mother and a perfect father. He had to put on a robe of flesh that could die. Everybody doing okay? Mary was not assumed to heaven. All right? So, first way you can get to heaven is by being translated. That is, the word translate means transport, exchange, or change sides. That's literally what the Hebrew word or Greek word, I looked it up in both, it means. It means to transport, to exchange, or to change sides. That's what the word translate means. Now, number two, second way you can get to heaven, and I'm not talking about salvation, we're talking about the actual transportation of your spirit and your soul, and that is death. Death is the most common way you'll get to heaven. I don't mean that to sound crude, but there have been a lot of people die in this world. There have been tens of billions of people die in world history. There are 7 billion people on the face of the earth right now. It's estimated at the flood there was somewhere between 2 and 4 billion people on the earth at the time of the flood. How many people have lived from the flood to present time? There have been tens and tens and tens of billions of people in this world. I hate to disappoint you, but when the flood came, there wasn't just a few hundred thousand people. There were billions of people. There were 1,700 years of world history. America has been a country for a little under 250 years, and we have 330 million people here. And we don't populate the world like they did back then. We quit having babies long before they did back then. Enoch was having babies for 300 years. God bless that man. God bless his wife. Good night. They lived much longer and reproduced many, 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 many more children than we. The production went well beyond and much faster. By the way, that estimate of about 4 billion people, 2 to 4 billion, is actually low. There are some estimates that there could have been as many as 7 to 10 billion. I took a very moderate range on it in all of my research. I had 3 different engineers writing an algorithm, working an algorithm to figure it out, and we came up within about 100,000 of all 3 of them within about this range of 4 billion people. Now, there have been a lot of people on the face of the earth. There's been a lot of death. Once you notice where we were in 2 Corinthians 5, it talked about death in verse number 1, talked about it in verse number 8. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. This verse is going to sound a little strange to some, but I'll show you something sweet about it in a moment. Psalm 116, look at verse number 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Is that lost people or saved people? Saved people. That's not just the Pope and the pimp and whoever else, Mother Mary and all the others, St. Joan of Arc and St. John Bosco and all the others. They don't even know who those people are. Now, the God says it's precious in the sight of the Lord. You say, why? Because you're going to go be with him. You're going to go be with him, and it's precious. By the way, if you've watched somebody linger and suffer, there comes a point in time where death is sweet. And I don't mean that in a cruel way, but you're glad at a certain point in time the suffering is over. If you've watched somebody suffer with a horrible disease, a cancer, or an emphysema, or something to where their body was just racked in pain, and I could go on and on. I've watched people suffer and suffer and suffer, and I've had the family say, "Preacher, can you just do something?" I said, "Is everybody ready in agreement that it's time for them to go?" "Yes." "Tell them goodbye." And I've leaned over and put my hand on that body and said, "God, the family's ready. Why, if you'll come quickly, we think everybody's ready here. Now it's all in your hands." I've watched God take them in minutes. I've seen it go in an hour, rarely more than 24 hours. Say, why? Not because I want somebody to die, but the family's ready for the suffering to be done. And there's a sweetness that then comes. And there's a preciousness that comes. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse number 54. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Wow. Now I want you to notice something. The sting of death is sin. Death hurts because of sin. I'm not saying everybody that dies is in pain, but the pain left behind is because we're sinners. The fact that we have to die is because we're sinners. If there were no sin, there would be no death. So that stinger is death. But I want you to notice something. When Jesus went to the heart of the earth, he came up when he resurrected, and he held two keys. Anybody remember what those two keys are?
Death and hell.
Death and hell. He grabbed the key of death from the devil and the key of hell. Say, why? Because eventually Jesus will lock death away at the great white throne judgment, and he'll lock hell away in the lake of fire, throw the keys in with them, and they'll never be unlocked ever again. He holds those keys. He holds the keys to death and hell. Now, let me say this about death, and I don't mean to be morbid. It won't be morbid. But some people linger and have glimpses into heaven in the process of dying. They really do. I've been with them. They've told me things they see. They tell me people they see. "Can't you see them?" "Nope, but I'm glad you do." And I'm not kidding. I've heard people say that they've seen loved ones, and "Can't you see them?" "No, I can't see them, but I believe you can." Let me show you what I mean. It's even in Scripture. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. There was a deacon named Stephen who was being stoned to death. That's not like some of you did in your earlier days. But they were actually throwing stones at him to kill him. And while he was in the process of dying, I want you to notice what he says here. Acts chapter 7, look at verse number 55. "But he," that's Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven," watch this, "and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul." I want you to notice something. Stephen was about to die, but he looked and he actually saw Jesus standing in heaven at the throne of God. God peeled back the veil of his eyes to be able to see what he did not normally see. Again, I've sat at the bedside of many a precious saint dying and going to heaven. And I promise you one thing, it's sweet when they start talking about heaven. They'll say, "Oh, can't you see him?" "Who do you see?" "That's Jesus." "How do you know?" "Because that's Jesus." I can see him. I've heard him talk about him. I've seen him talk about how beautiful things are. I've heard him. It's amazing. I was with one sweet old saint. She was dying in a nursing home. She said, "Can't you hear the angels singing? Oh, how beautiful." And I said, "I can't hear them, but I believe you can." I said, "You want me to sing?" She said, "No, I like hearing the angels better." Shut up. It was sweet. So we get glimpses of heaven. Don't believe all of these things about people. "Well, I died, went to heaven, and came back 3 days later, and I saw so-and-so." Most of that stuff is all weird stuff. Now, I do believe there are people that have died, been there, and got brought back to life. Matter of fact, Brother Hiles knew an old preacher who, in Texas, he was in his late 80s, early 90s, and he went to go visit him. He said, "Hello there, Brother Hiles." He said, "I'm mad." He said, "Why are you mad?" He said, "See my nurse right there? It's all her fault." He said, "I was in heaven. I met Jesus. I had already gotten to shake his hand. I got to put my arms around him." He said, "It's all her fault. She brought me back to life. I had to come back here. I'm mad." And he was mad till he died again. Now, those things happen. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There's another person who saw or maybe even went to heaven. We're not exactly sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1, it's about the Apostle Paul. Verse 1, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." By the way, that is, remember I went our study, that wouldn't be paradise, it would be the heaven where God is. I put paradise between there on purpose. "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." And I won't take time to read the rest of this, but you find out Paul doesn't talk about it to glorify himself. Anybody that experiences that and then wants to make money on it, they're glorifying themselves. They're going to tell you all the things that you want to hear, not things that are real. Heaven is a real place. I believe God let Paul see heaven. Maybe when he was, he had been left shipwrecked several times. He'd been stoned several times. He'd been beaten near to death several times. I'm not sure which place it was or which time it was, but I'm sure one of those times he was very near death. And God peeled back the veil of heaven to let him see some things. Say, how do you know that? Because he says, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. And it really doesn't matter because I'm here now. Several times he said that, all right? Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. You don't need to turn there, but the Bible says, "As is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." Folks, we're all going to face death. Whether we have a lingering time and we get to actually see into heaven, whether we go quickly, whether we get sick and we linger for a little while, whether we just go of natural causes, it doesn't matter. My grandfather was one of the happiest people you'd ever meet. My mom's dad, he was an amazing fella. I remember they had just gotten back from a cruise. They had been married 40-some years, and Grandpa was, I think, 77 years old. Now, you old-timers know what I'm about to say. You young folks won't know what this means, but Grandma on Saturday morning was cleaning the house, cleaning the bathrooms, and she said, "Fred, will you take and shake these rugs out?" Y'all know what I'm talking about, shaking the rugs out, all right? those little rugs in the bathroom, you'd have to take them out and he'd have to shake them to get the dust and all the stuff out of them, and then she'd vacuum them on top of that, but Grandma had to have them shaken out first. So he walked out of the washroom, been about where that room is there, came through a little hallway. There was a bedroom, and the stairs that went up to the attic there, came around the corner, got halfway across the living room, about where my wife would be, and he hit the floor. My grandmother hollered, "Fred!" She didn't get an answer. "Fred!" She didn't get an answer, and she got up from cleaning the tub and walked out, and he's laying face first with his arms out to his side, and he was gone. Just that quick. He could have been at the doctor's office. His heart just literally had a massive heart attack and stopped immediately. He was gone before he hit the floor. Last words he said to my grandmother, "I'd do anything for you, sweetie." As he took the old rugs from the bathroom to go shake them out. That's a memory, okay? Some people don't have any warning. Some we have warning. But may I say this, I've sat with enough people as they die, heaven's real. Oh, my soul is heaven real. And may I say this, hell's just as real. If you've ever sat with somebody that died and went to hell, it will change your life. I get calls every once in a while to go sit with somebody. I'll say, "Are they saved?" "Think so, preacher." "Ooh, getting in, getting out, because I don't want to be around if they're not. I'll see if I can win them to Christ, but I'm not sticking around to hear somebody die and go to hell. I can't take that anymore. It just bothers me. It's bad. I've heard people screaming, I'm on fire, oh my God, I'm in hell, screaming as they die. Yeah, ooh. That's not something, you don't sleep for a couple days after those kind of things. It's nasty, but heaven is real, all right? Now, lastly, there's one last way that we can go to heaven. I want you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Anybody want to guess what the last way is?
What?
Rapture. All right, here we go. That's called Undertaker, not Undertaker, amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's look at verse number 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye have no sorrow, not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 4. We've read this several times in our study, but one more time. I want you to notice a couple different words here that we've not emphasized before. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a" what?
Trumpet.
What did it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? "The trump of God shall sound, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Watch this. And what's the next word?
Immediately.
"I was in the spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." When the rapture takes place, the twinkling of an eye is less than 1/100th of a second. Okay? And that's faster than, you can't blink that fast. You will be in heaven immediately. God has the ability to say, the dead in Christ will rise first, we'll be caught up, and then we will be with him, and immediately, the Bible says, we will be in heaven. It's going to happen so fast, you're going to be there before you knew it happened. It's not going to go in slow motion. All right? It's not like these liberals that want to show you how the rapture is going to take place, and there's this dark day, and all of a sudden the bright light shines, and you hear this trumpet. Come up here, there. Everybody starts flinging up in the sky. It's going to happen so fast, it's going to be over before it happens. And you will be immediately in heaven. That is the only other way we get to heaven. So, by translation, there was only two, Enoch and Elijah. By death, that's the most common way where most people have gone to heaven. And the select few that are here, when the rapture takes place, those of us which are saved, will go up with him without seeing death. I personally believe be similar to what happened to Elijah and Enoch, but not exactly. I can't tell you what the difference is. I can just tell you that we're not taking this carcass there. We'll get our new body because it says we were in the spirit. We'll be in our spiritual bodies. We'll drop this robe of flesh. This flesh can't live forever. The one in heaven can. So we'll pick up our new body in heaven. How does that all take place? After it happens, you'll understand it. But you're not going to understand it beforehand. Now, Jesus said he'll come back for us at the rapture for all those who have been saved. So that's what our hope is the rapture. My wife and I were talking recently and I said, you know, I'm not afraid to die. I'm really not. But I'm not real excited about the process. I don't want to hurt when I do it. But even if I do hurt while it's going on, guess what? Once it's over, that hurt's going to be long forgotten. I've watched people suffer. I've watched people lose their minds in Alzheimer's. I had two grandparents that didn't even know who they were, what they were, if they were. God bless them. I lost them twice. I remember walking out of my grandma and grandpa's room. My wife was with me. And my grandmother and grandfather didn't even know who I was. 10 times that day. Who are you? Who are you? Are all those kids yours? What do you do? I'm a preacher. Oh, that's good. Thanks, Grandma. Who are you? She couldn't quite get it all screwed in there. It's okay. I remember walking out saying my grandmother will never know me again till she gets to heaven. But I got to preach her funeral. Got to preach my grandpa's funeral. I've watched people suffer with all kinds of diseases. I've watched people waste away to almost nothing. I watched a man over here in the VA hospital when he died. This is cruel. The man... the main aorta runs through your stomach down into your groin area and you could see it pumping. He had no stomach left. I don't think his stomach was that thick from back to top. It was sad. And the only thing keeping him alive was he had a pacemaker that was still going, keeping his heart going. They had to dismember the pacemaker. It was sad. But I remember him going to heaven and how we rejoiced because he got saved. And we got to rejoice with the family. Now, I've watched a lot of things. Can I tell you something? Heaven's real. Whether we go by death, whether we go by rapture, I know this, you're not going by translation. And Mary didn't either. And so there was only two that did that. But whether it's by death or by rapture, there's only been 3 ways to get there. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about 3 ways to get saved. There's only 1 way to get saved. But there's 3 different methods God used to transport us from earth to heaven. And those are the 3 ways how we get there. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I realize, a bit different of a Bible study, but one I felt like would help us complete this. As the piano begins to play, let's stand to our feet.